We didn't mean to do it. We didn't mean to do it. Those were the words of my oldest son as he ran down the stairs and into me and my wife's room and shared these words with us as we heard them. I made my way upstairs, because when you hear words like that as a parent, you immediately, you're struck by that. And so I rushed up the stairs and my wife kind of trailing behind. As I got up the stairs, I looked on a freshly painted off-white wall that my sons had written on the entire length of the wall in brown and orange marker. So I said, "What were you thinking? Why did you do this?" To which my middle son said, "God told us to do it." You know that moment? You know that moment when you desire to discipline in all seriousness, but you're laughing on the inside so much that you cannot? Well, that was that moment. I rushed back down the stairs, passing my wife on the way up, laughing, but I could not let my son see that I was laughing to no end. So she came up and she saw the same thing, and she ended up getting a little hanger rod from the, you know, you get from the cleaners, and whacked both of them on the backside, and we went back to bed. The next morning, we got up and we were at the breakfast table and we were having a conversation, and I thought I would revisit the moment. So I asked, "Why did you all write on the wall?" To which my son, my middle son, Micah, he stuck to his guns. "I told you, God told us to do it." So I said, "Well, what did God say?" And he said, "Marvin, Micah, right on the wall." And I said, "So what did you say?" And I said, "Okay." And we laughed. But the story raises a deep ache and desire for every single believer. And that ache and desire is how we long to hear the voice of God. Now, Marvin and Micah, I believe they were on the wrong frequency. I believe they were not tuned in to the voice of God. Because there's no way in the world that God would have instructed them to paint on a wall that his father had painted, hard work, energy. There's no way that God would have told them to do that. And plus, it didn't make any sense. We didn't understand even what they wrote. So I don't think they were on the right frequency. And how you and I long to be on the right frequency, to tune into God's voice, to hear him speak to us, even if it's speaking about Sherry's berries. That there's a deep desire for every true follower of Jesus to receive direction and guidance and understanding and wisdom from God. I know there are some who are listening to me right now. You have experienced the voice of God. You have experienced God speaking to you, prompting you, impressing upon you through his word, through the spirit, through community, through circumstances. And it's been loud and clear. But I wonder right now, there are some who say, "You know, I haven't heard God's voice in a long time," like Cindy said. "Hadn't heard it in a long time. And I long and ache to hear him speak clearly, whether it's in a booming voice or whether it's in a still, small voice." Well, I think this is what we're doing over the next several weeks. We're talking about, we want to get on the same frequency as God. We want to tune into his heart. We want to tune into his voice. We want to tune into who he is and how he speaks. What's the content of the words he used to speak to us? Obviously, the Bible is the baseline. God uses the Bible. He uses the Holy Spirit who lives inside of every believer. He uses community, friends who are pursuing God as well. He uses circumstances to speak loudly and clearly to us. And we'll talk about those things. But this is important for us. It's important for us as followers of Jesus. I think it's important for a number of reasons. And it's important because God loves us. And he desires the best for us. There's some people who are listening to me right now. You're wondering where to live and where to move. And you're wondering about how I'm going to make it and who should I marry. And you're single and you're wondering who should I marry. Is this the person? Is this the right person? Is this the right person? Well, God loves us and desires the best for us. So it behooves us to actually approach him and ask him and then listen to what he has to say to us. But I think it's also important for us because that you and I are going to be held accountable for what we could have asked and should have asked but did not. We're going to be held accountable for being a steward of having the privilege of pursuing God but choosing not to. So we'll be held accountable for that. Not just our gifts, not just our finances, but we will be held accountable for the stewardship of the way we pursued and approached God. Another reason is that God knows things that we don't know. According to Joshua chapter 9, God knows things that we don't know. He simply knows what's around the corner. So it behooves us to approach him and to press into him and to know him so that he actually speaks to us. So even as to warn us. My mother used to tell me all the time, Marvin, I want you to walk so close with God that nothing will ever slip up on you. And there are times in my life where I wasn't walking close to God and things slipped up on me. And there were times where I felt I was walking close to God and God warned me ahead of time before that thing happened. And I remembered my mother's words. So God loves us so much, he knows what's around the corner. So it actually behooves us to actually listen to what he has to say. Here's what I'm convinced of, that every follower of Jesus can tune into God's voice and increase his or her chances to hear him speak by riding several frequency waves. Now, I know that there are individuals who are listening to me right now. You want to increase your chances to hear God speak on a daily basis. Not just in the big things, not just in the small, but on a daily basis. That when you wake up in the morning, that you have, in a sense, marching orders from God. Now, are we talking about an auditory speaking where you hear where my son said they heard God say, Marvin, Micah, right on the wall? No, I think it's more than that. It's the Holy Spirit impressing upon our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit using the word of God to challenge places in our lives, to grow us, mature us, to cause us to be more like Jesus. And to hear God's voice is not just about getting what we want. Hearing God's voice is all about God making us like his son. So, here are the waves, the frequency waves that you and I can ride that I think increases our chances to hear God speak to us. Here's wave number one. Wave number one is the frequency wave of capacity. Capacity. Here's a statement. We have the capacity to hear God's voice. We have the capacity to hear God's voice. Someone needed to hear that because you have trained your mind to think that only pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, small group facilitators, missionaries, and those special Christians hear from God. That's not true. If you are a single mother, I believe you can hear from God. If you are a single father, I believe you can hear from God. If you are a factory worker, I think you can hear from God. If you are a teacher in our public schools, you can hear from God. If you are a lawyer or a doctor, an accountant, you can hear from God. If you are an electrician or a plumber, you can hear from God. Hearing from God is not just about a specialized group of people. God has given true followers of Jesus a capacity to hear God. The potential, the capability, the equipment, the goods, the sense of, yes, I have what it takes to hear from God. Well, how does God do that? Well, God creates the capacity in every believer. He creates this capacity. And Jesus says something about this. Jesus says there's something that has to happen in every person's life in order to now be connected to heaven to hear his voice. And this is what he says in John chapter 3, verse number 3. He says, Jesus answered him, talking about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee that wanted to find out a little bit more about Jesus because he had seen his miracles, and he came to him at night so he wanted to hear more. He wanted to understand what it meant to have, to see or experience the kingdom of God. And we talk about the kingdom of God, that is experience the reign and rule of God in his life, of which the voice of God is a part of the reign and rule of God. So he came to Jesus at night. He didn't want to, other people to see him. And so he came and he says, hey, listen, I want to experience the kingdom of God. I want to experience the reign and rule of God because I know you are a prophet. And I believe I'm almost at a place where I'm believing that you are Messiah. So tell me, how can I experience the kingdom of God? And this is what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see or experience or enjoy the reign and rule of God in his or her life. He says, unless the person is born again, cannot even begin to experience the kingdom, of which the voice of God is the part of the kingdom of God, his direction, his leading, his wisdom, his understanding. Now we look at the word born again. The traditional reading is that, or a number of people believe that Jesus made this word up, that Jesus and the other apostles invented this word. Well, Jesus didn't, or the apostles didn't. This word was actually in use way before Jesus came on the scene. And it was in use in this way. It was in use in this way where Gentiles wanted to become Israelites. And when Gentiles wanted to become Israelites, they went through a process called the mikvah baptism, M-I-V-K-A-H, the mikvah baptism. And when they went through mikvah, when they were baptized, the rabbinic tradition is this, is that once the Gentile came out of the water, it was said of the Gentile, they were now reborn. They were born again. In fact, all of their family ties had to be cut because it was as if they were now resurrected from the dead and starting a new life with a new family all over again. So Jesus didn't invent this word. He used a word that was already in play. Here's in his book, The Waters of Eden, the late Rabbi Kaplan draws on this tradition of mikvah, the Jewish thought regarding mikvah. He takes sources that were around way before Jesus came, and this is what he says about mikvah immersion. He says, emerging from the mikvah is very much like a process of rebirth. Seen in this light, we see that mikvah represents the womb, like a woman's womb. When an individual enters the mikvah baptism, he is re-entering the womb. And when he emerges, he is as if born anew. He is like one reborn. And so when Jesus says you must be born again, Nicodemus says, whoa, how can an old man go back in his mother's womb? He is actually using the terminology that Jesus is using, and he is actually using the terminology of the rabbinic tradition. And so when Jesus says, you must be born again, and he says, how can a man go back into his mother's womb? He is not baffled by how can an older man go back inside. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is this. According to the imagery, this is what Nicodemus is objecting to. He is saying, I am already Jewish. So how can I convert to Judaism? I'm already a Jew. So how can I convert to Judaism? And actually, this is a sound objection. And Jesus says, amen, amen. You're doing a good job in processing this. And Jesus says, it's not enough for you to be Jewish. It's not enough for you to go to the synagogue. It's not enough for you to even believe in God. And he comes and he says, you must be born from above. You must have a spiritual transaction. You must have a spiritual transformation. You must have a heart change, a mind change, a life change, so that you might be able to experience this kingdom, of which the voices of the voice of God is a part. So what does all this have to do with hearing God speak? Well, the moment you and I trust Jesus, the moment you and I are born again, a whole new world is opened up to us. A whole new insight is opened up to us. We have new eyes now. We see things that we never seen before. We now have new ears, and now we have the ability. We now have the capacity. We now have the goods. We now have the equipment to actually hear God. So if you are a person that you have not been born again, if you have not trusted Jesus, all of this talk about hearing God and all that, it might seem like we are smoking something. But it comes down to, has your heart been changed? Because if your heart has been changed, then you and I now have the ability. You and I now have the equipment. You and I now have the goods to hear from God. It's like this. If you were adopted by a family from a different country, and you left here to go live with that family, say in Russia, you would have to learn the language in order to experience and understand Russia like you desire and like you should. There's no way, if you don't learn the language, there's no way you'll be able to understand. Well, you and I have been adopted into a new kingdom. You and I are part of a new family. And when you and I become believers, we just don't innately and inherently know the language. We have the equipment, but we have to move to the second wave. The second wave. We have the equipment, but we have to learn the language of this new family, this new group of people that we're a part of. It's not enough for you and I to have the capacity. You and I, not just knowing that we have the capacity, that's good, but we have to move on. Here's Mark chapter 4, verse 9. This is what he says. This is what Jesus says. And he uses this phrase about 15 times in the New Testament. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. So part of this capacity piece is having ears to hear, but also choosing to use the ears that God, the new spiritual ears that God has given us, to be able to hear. So here's the second wave. Must move, not just having the capacity. The frequency wave number two is value. And here's the statement. We must value God's voice. We must value God's voice. Here is here's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. He was an apprentice under the prophet Eli. God was about to call Samuel to be a prophet. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Part of the reason there was no frequent vision is because the people of God were disobedient. But this word rare here is a very important word. It means the word of God was valuable. It was valuable like a precious stone. Because God wasn't speaking very often, when he did speak, it was like, oh, we want this. We desire this. We have to have this. So it was valuable to a few people, and they were in tune to that. And so we must ask the question, how valuable is God's voice? How valuable is God's voice to you and me right now? Is it more valuable than friends? Is it more valuable than the voice of social media? Is it more valuable than my husband? Is it more valuable than my wife? Is it more valuable than my children? How valuable is the voice of God to you and me, to your family, to your group right now? Because in order for you and I to begin to hear God's voice, it must be important to us. His voice must be of utmost priority. And God has done something. God has done something. He's built into our system, into our brains, a sophisticated filtering system that actually helps us to focus on the things that are important and actually filter out the junk and the things that are not important. It's called RAS. It's the reticular activating system. Reticular activating system that God has placed inside of every human brain. And here's how it works. It says, neurosciences, this is the research. The reticular activating system filters out the unimportant stimuli and focuses on what is important at the moment. Once you have made a distinction that a certain value, thought, idea, sound, picture, or feeling is significant to you, your RAS is alerted. It immediately transmits any information it receives regarding that significant item into your consciousness. God has placed that in us. This is how it works for me. That if I'm in a meeting, I have trained my RAS. If I'm in a meeting and I get a call from Tanya, Marvin, Micah, or Michaela, if I have my phone with me, I leave that meeting, stop what I'm doing, and I take that call. Why? Because they are important to me. More important than a meeting that I'm a part of. Because I don't know what's happening. And so because I look at them as the most important people in my life, besides my relationship with God, I say, I'm picking up this call. And if I don't, in this text world, they can text me and say, Dad or sweetie, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking. But if they call, we can do that. But if they call, I know to pick up the phone and respond right away. So there's a positive focusing, and then there's a negative filtering. The positive focusing, this happens with mothers. When a brand new mother, if you hear you bring your baby home and you hear your baby whimper or sniffle right away, you get up and you go and you see what's wrong with the baby. Because you have alerted your RAS to say that baby is important to me. Same thing with the negative filtering. The negative filtering works this way. Like I grew up in Chicago and I had friends that lived near the L train. And I would ask them often, say, don't the train coming every 5 minutes bother you? And they would tell me, we don't even hear it anymore. Because what they've done, they filtered out the negative noise and they don't hear it any longer. It's just the same way it is with the voice of God. When you and I have determined that the voice of God is the most important voice, is utmost important to us, your and my wrath says when God speaks, put that voice through. When I'm reading the word and God says something, our wrath says, put that voice through because that voice is important. And so the question that I have to ask myself and the question that I have to ask you, how important is the voice of God? Do you stop whatever you're doing when God is speaking? Do you respond right away? So you and I actually have to begin to value God's voice. Here's the thing that I've been asking. There are days I wake up and I don't have a desire to hear God's voice. I don't have a desire to read the word. I don't have a desire to pray. And so here's the prayer that I've been praying. God, give me the desire to desire you. Give me the longing to long for you. Help me, help my desire. And typically what it is, when you and I don't spend time alone with God, when you and I don't chase after his voice, when you and I don't chase after him, it's not because we hate God. It's because there's something wrong with our desire. So I've been asking God lately, God, give me the supernatural desire, the desire to desire you. So that's the second. Here's the third. The third frequency wave is ability. Here's the third idea. We must develop the ability to hear God's voice. We must develop the ability to hear God's voice. Here are a couple of verses. Here's Romans chapter 8, verses 14. Chapter 8 is all about the Holy Spirit. For all who are led, that is the actual Greek phrase, those who are being led, that is being led every day, those are the ones who are called the sons of God. Those are the ones who are in tune and are responding to God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Keep on walking. Those who are constantly and consistently walking by the Spirit, you will not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's about you and I creating, or you and I developing an ability to hear God speak. Hear God speak. You know, it's interesting that listening is the only part of communication that we're never taught to do. We're taught how to talk. We're taught how to communicate with our words. But we're hardly ever taught to listen. Listen to what Dr. Lyman Steele, chairman of Speech and Communication Division, Department of Rhetoric at the University of Minnesota, says. He says, we spend 80% of our waking time communicating, yet listening is the one communication skill we're never really taught. Never really taught. So you and I have to be taught how to listen. So Tanya and I were at the movie on Friday, and she was talking to me and telling me something, and I swore that I heard it, and I told her that I heard it. But I really wasn't listening. Because Miles Bridges and Joshua Langford and Tum Tum Nairn were like right in my view. And I was thinking, man, this would be a great time to go get a selfie. Or this would be a great time. This was on Friday. Saturday, they had blown Maryland out. It would be a great time to go up to them and say, hey, great game. Man, you all were balling out on Thursday. So I'm watching them, and Tanya is talking to me, and I was, uh-huh. And she said, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? I said, yeah, I did. I heard you. And then every man knows this. She said, so what did I say? How many men, okay, don't raise your hand. You've experienced, okay, all right, we have one brave soul. What did I say? And so I tried to, the best I could, explain to her what I thought she said. And she looked at me and said, you are wrong. You didn't hear a word I said. So I said, so baby, tell me again. And so she explained again. And at that point, it dawned on me that we've been taught how to talk, but we have not been taught how to listen. And that's the same way it is with God. We've been taught, and even I've done it, I've taught you how to pray. Something even more valuable than talking to God is developing the ability to listen to his voice. And so listening to God is so developing that ability to listen. And you and I develop the ability, there are three ways that you and I develop ability. We develop ability through frequency, we develop the ability through intensity, and we develop the ability through time. So if you want to learn the piano, it's going to be frequent, time, it's going to be frequent in frequency, intensity, and time. So we're using now this word frequency in a different way. So we're talking about frequency on being on the same wavelength, but part of what it means to be on the same wavelength and the same frequency is that you and I actually have to be frequent in the presence of God. So frequency is significant. So you and I have to, whatever ability it is, whatever habit you want to develop, it's frequency, intensity, and time. Several months ago, I had gone for my annual checkup. And my numbers, some of my numbers were a little skewed and a little off. And my doctor said, you know, you need to lose some weight. You need a lifestyle change. I was the heaviest I had ever been in my life. And I didn't like it. I hated it. And I looked in the mirror and I didn't like it. And finally, the doctor told me, you need to do something about this. You need a lifestyle change, not a diet. You need to change the way you live. So I took it as a challenge. And so I began asking God to give me the desire to be a good steward of my body, the only body that I have before I die. I get a new one when we die. We see Jesus, we get a new one, but he calls us to take care of this one. So I went on I started eating differently and I started exercising. I started going to the gym frequently and I started going with a little bit more intensity. And I was spending time researching and understanding how I should live my life. So there's no way if I went to the gym and I stayed at 3 or 4 miles per hour on the treadmill or at 4 or 5 on the elliptical, there's no way I would see change. Don't you hate those commercials where they say 14 minutes a day and you'll look just like this? So no, there's an intensity that has to happen. Whether it's working out, whether it's the piano, whatever it is, it's the same way it is with God. When was the last time you pressed into God? When was the last time you were intense in your time alone with him? When was the last time you fasted and said, God, I'm going to pursue you. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to pursue you more and more intensely this year. I'm not talking about setting resolutions and that sort of thing. I am talking about a lifestyle change where you're spending time frequently with him, intensely with him, and with time. So one of the things that I said that part of my goaling for this year is because I want to hear the voice of Jesus and I want to familiarize myself with his voice like never before. And so one of the habits I'm developing this year, all of this year, I want to read through the Gospels every 30 days. Every 30 days for 12 months. I want to know Jesus' voice. I want to know his attitude. I want to know how he responds to his critics. I want to know how he loves. I want to know his compassion. And I can't think of a better way to do that than to immerse myself in where I see him most. So it's developing this ability. Developing this ability. And then finally, wave number 4 is response. It's response. We must respond to God's voice. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. It says, the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Now, just to give you a little background on this, Samuel is an apprentice of Eli. And Eli is an older prophet. And God has already taken the kingdom away from him and about to give it, or at least remove him from being a prophet. And is about to raise Samuel up. And Samuel has to be the one to tell his boss that you're no longer going to be prophet. So Samuel hears the voice of God. Samuel, Samuel. He gets up, goes to Eli, and says, what do you want? Did you call me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Time, same thing. Get up. The voice of God says, Samuel, Samuel. He gets up and says, Eli, did you talk to me? Did you say something? And Eli says, no, go back to bed. Same thing happens again. And then the last time, Eli says, if you hear the voice call you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Your servant is hearing. And that's exactly what happens. And he gives Samuel this prophecy. Samuel responds, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Here are a couple of practical things that you and I can, under this particular wave, this frequency wave, some practical things. Here it is. Number one, before God speaks, make a commitment that you're going to respond no matter what. Before he speaks, you're going to say, I'm going to respond, God. Second, when God speaks, say that you're going to respond positively to what God says. So, yes, God, I'll do it. Yes, God, I'll go. Yes, God, I'll give that away. Yes, God, I'll bless that person. The third, going back to our RAS, respond negatively to the world's values. Filter out the junk. We're going to talk about that next week, how to filter out the junk so you can hear God better. Filter out the junk. And put God's voice through immediately. And then finally, respond practically. So if the Lord impresses upon you to do certain things from his word, respond right away. Simply respond right away. Respond immediately. I was a couple of months ago, I was up here, I was speaking, and I saw a young man that I know him, and saw a young man sitting in our congregation, and immediately while I was speaking, the Lord impressed upon my heart, call him, connect with him, text him, take him out to lunch, just to encourage him, just to let him know that you're thinking about him. I responded, and he said, wow, I can't believe that you would even do something like that. It wasn't me, it was God kind of prompting me to do that. Another young man, right around Christmas time, he was walking in the atrium, had his kids, and right as I was walking past him, I felt God's sense, just this sense of reach out to him, text him, communicate with him, just to let him know you're thinking about him and that he's about to have another child. And I know he's looking at trying to, in terms of his career, just reach out to him and let him know that you're thinking about him and you're praying for him. And he responded back like, Mom, that meant a lot to me. And then a couple of months ago, while I was praying, I had just this impression because I just hadn't heard I hadn't saw my son go get his oil change, and I even felt bad even saying it because it's so practical. I said, I just felt this sense where God says, Marvin, you need to go get your oil changed. Because he just drives. He just drives and thinks that the car is supposed to run on its own. And so he responded. And so it's about you and I training our minds and our hearts. When God speaks, respond immediately. And yesterday, Marvin has had a cold for the last couple of days. And as I was walking into the kitchen, getting ready to make breakfast, I walked past him and I just sensed that God says, you need to pray for healing for your son. He said his throat was hurting and he was coughing up stuff. And so I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your healing? And so I laid my hands on him, prayed for him, and then about 5 minutes later, he just starts coughing up this phlegm. I know we're about to take communion and stuff, but he starts coughing up this phlegm and he spits it out. He said, "Dad, do you want to see it?" I said, "No, I don't want to see it." It was like really big too. And so I said, so me and Tanya were saying, "No, just spit it in the garbage can. You don't got to put it on a napkin to show it. It's not show and tell." And he said, "Dad, I think your prayer worked. I think your prayer worked." He said, "I feel better. I feel better." So it's about you and I responding. A number of years ago, several years ago, making this full circle, Marvin came down the stairs again. And he says, "Dad, how do you know when God has spoken?" So when I gave him a few tips, he said, "While I was in the shower, I think God told me to start a Bible study." I said, "That sounds just like God. I think you're on the right frequency." And him and Micah, God just used them. And so much has happened in so many people's lives as a result of these young people hearing God's voice and responding. Well, God spoke again over 2,000 years ago. He spoke loud and clear, and he spoke through his son. He spoke through the prophets many years ago, but then he spoke through his son. And his son gave his life. And when his son gave his life, that opened the door for you and I to have communion with God, to be on the same frequency as God. So we do this thing called communion. And communion is a way for us to remember what God has done for us. That he has done something absolutely amazing so that we might have a relationship and fellowship with him. So we're going to take communion together. If you are a part, if you've been born again, then we invite you to the table. We invite you to be a part of this. But if you have not been born again, none of this makes sense to you. This is really for family, for those who have responded to the grace of God. So for those who are going to serve communion, if you can come forward now and I'll pray as you come. God, thank you for speaking over 2,000 years ago, telling us that you love us and that you forgive us. And now, God, we renew our desire to press into you. We renew our desire to hear from you. We renew our desire to desire you. More than anything else in the world, God, that's what we want. And so may these elements be a reminder of what you want from us every day. And that is passionate communion, frequency, intensity, and time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If love